been correct in our approach in dealing with the case of Ms. Tshabalala. And the public must know that she has been very uncooperative right from the beginning. She never wanted to cooperate with this committee when everything was raised with her by the committee. And it is important for the people of South Africa to know that, you see, a question of qualifications, you don't have to misrepresent yourself on something you don't know. There's what in life is called prior learning. If you want to serve at whatever capacity, at whatever level, in whatever institution, it's better you represent yourself correctly based on the experience you have or on qualifications you have. People of South Africa must desist from this thing of misrepresenting themselves, precisely because that counts against. I wonder, you know, on this, I want to commend the swift and very quick action which the acting CEO of the SAA, which he did immediately when he was questioned about his qualifications, he immediately came out and said, no, look, this is known even from my previous work, that I don't have a degree. And even here, it's known. I think for us as parliament, we must be more emphatic, especially on people who serve on the boards and councils of government entities or government parastatals. We must be very, very, because that's why we must set the example as parliamentarians. Thank you. I'll propose that.
Yes, thanks, Honorable Kalako. Honorable Davis.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to start by saying that the issue with Ms. Ellen Tshabalala from the beginning has never been about whether or not, well, it's never been about her lack of qualifications. It's been about the fact that she misrepresented her qualifications. It goes to the heart of honesty and integrity, and it follows that somebody who would lie about their qualifications should not be in charge of the public broadcaster. And that's really what the issue is all about. So the DA supports the finding of the committee that she is guilty of misconduct. Accordingly, we move that she should be removed from her position, which means that the House must table a resolution to that effect, and that that resolution must then go to the President for removal. My concern is that Parliament is not sitting at the moment, and that we won't be able to table this resolution until February next year. And the question then becomes, what happens to Ms. Tshabalala between now and February next year? So I would like to urge the committee to again resolve to suspend Ms. Tshabalala immediately based upon the finding of this committee, and that such a memorandum must be sent again to the Speaker's office, who must pass it on to the President, because it is his discretion on whether or not she gets suspended. But I would say that we have to deal with that very urgently, because we cannot afford to have her in that position for any longer. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Davis. Honorable Teddy, Honorable Kekan, Honorable Matisha.
Thanks, Chairperson. Just to echo the same sentiments, because it has become very, very clear why she has even decided today not to turn up, because she knew that there is no way she can produce those qualifications. Secondly, just to also add to what Honorable Kalako has been saying, that she has never been cooperative. We're talking about a matter which started somewhere in July. Even now, she's not able to produce those qualifications. The affidavit that we're talking about was taken sometime in 2013. In July. Since then, no efforts were made to make sure that those qualifications that she has been alleged to be having are made available to Parliament as such. We have always been saying the reason why she has opted to go for a very costly exercise of getting legal representation with regard to a case that would have been resolved by her making only two copies at one rand, a copy of a degree at 50 cents, and a copy of a labor relations diploma at 50 cents. Instead, she has opted to go for a route, a very costly route of getting labor representation to fight parliament when she knew that she does not have those qualifications. Indeed, this is an embarrassment to parliament, an embarrassment to the SABC, and I'm sure this is going to be a lesson to all other people who might have been thinking to go the route that she has taken as such. It is very clear, Chairperson, that from the presentation that we received from UNIS, the issue of the challenges of mixed records, that issue does not arise, it is not there. The system of UNIS is very clear. She knew in any way that there's no way she can produce those qualifications. And I am saying as Parliament, as this portfolio committee, we will continue to be committed to clean governance and make sure that we are able to deal with those issues. So I'll agree with all the honorable members who are saying, indeed, let's dismiss her. And this should obviously be a lesson to all other people who might have been thinking to go the route that she has taken. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Sadi. Honorable Kekan.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I just want to support what my colleagues have said. Honorable Kalako and Honorable Tsedi, and support the findings as presented. You know, I think number one, suspension must take place. We must suspend her because it's a bad example. Just imagine the whole South Africa is watching on us because of her deeds. And number two, is very important for her to be in fact criminally charged. It's an offense for her to tell us, to lie to us. To lie under oath is an offense. So I think maybe we should even take a step further. And we must fight corruption at all costs to make sure that all of these people doesn't repeat what she has done. So I don't want to go far. I'm happy with what has transpired today, and we have been saying that all the time. Thank you.
And thanks, Honorable Kekana. Honorable Madisha.
Oh, it's refusing to work. No, thanks, Chair and colleagues. You know, it needs to be understood, really, by all that SABC belongs to the people of South Africa who pay taxes daily to ensure that, yes, indeed, we are able to see everything, etc., etc. And anyone who does the kind of things that this lady has done is actually wrong. And we cannot really allow that to happen anyway. I therefore want to agree both with our legal advisors. I think they've done an excellent work. The office there and my colleagues here, that an action has got to be taken with effect from now, even before we go out of this hall, really. We've got to act. She's got to move out of that office. She's got to be suspended. And indeed, yes, she's got to be moved out of that office permanently. Because of these three charges, I must say, I'm saying three because it's over and above the two that we've put on the table, Chair. She alleges that she has all those kind of qualifications. And it has been proven that the antithesis is the case. I mean, we have the scientific information here given by UNISA itself. And we cannot really say that the opposite is the case. And therefore, because of that, she's got to move away from that institution that belongs to the people of our country. The issue of the oath, I mean, for her to go to the legal institutions of our country and say, oh yes, this is the case. We can't allow that kind of thing to happen. Because you are here, Chair, to make sure that yes, indeed, the laws of our country are put in place and yes, indeed, they are followed. But then over and above this thing, the denial, I mean, as she puts it, she alleges that she has been denied by this committee an access to the rule of natural justice, that she has not been allowed altogether to come and give information as so required. I mean, this is just lies out of order, because you check even in the evidence that she has given via her lawyer. She indicates there that she was invited not once, not twice, not three times, but on very many occasions, even today, of course. That's why she has sent the legal person. And again, I think you, Chairperson, clarified this point, that we have invited her many times and she has not come. We can't allow that. Our people want the truth. Our people must see the truth. And we cannot have a person who is a liar who must actually do this kind of thing, be allowed, really, to lead our people. Therefore, she's got to go, not tomorrow, but with effect from now. Kindly, Chairperson, as I close this, make sure that in the next minute, as we move out of here, she's out of that office. But then, with effect from maybe tomorrow, the Speaker puts this into effect to the President, etc. She's got to go away from the institution that belongs to our people. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, honorable members. Just some things that I need to just go over from the deliberations. Of course, as the Portfolio Committee, we do get the nominations, the shortlisting, and we do the recommendations, you know, for appointment for the board members, which then gets processed through the House, the National Assembly, and then it then goes to the President to do the appointment. The chairperson as well, after all board members are there, the chairperson is appointed by the President. And therefore, even in this instance, she was appointed by the President. So that those, just to emphasize that the appointment is done by the President. I need to further indicate that we did at some point suggest that there must be suspension while we proceed with the inquiry. The deliberations that the members have done today actually takes us back to the issue of suspension, which we once recommended. But in this instance, it comes in a form where we have finalized our matter. I'm actually raising this because initially, when the suspension was put aside, the reason was that we were almost going for an inquiry, which was supposed to be on the 14th of October. And the thinking was that why don't we finalize the inquiry once and therefore send one recommendation to the President, which we thought it would be finalized by that the 14th, a long time ago. Unfortunately, it could not be so, as members would remember, that it was a matter that had to even go to court and even out of court and had to be to undergo a process, the longest process ever up till now. So because of that, the reasons that the members are now advancing at the moment is that we now have undergone the entire process finally. We had the witnesses and we have the evidence before us, which actually shows that all along when we're writing letters, getting a request for extension of time, Mrs. Shabalala, the board chairperson of SABC, was well aware that she did not have possessed the qualifications she claimed. You know, and we actually have to indicate that based on the evidence that was laid out now, it is quite clear that we have to finalize the matter. We now have information which is before all of us, and we can then make a decision. Members have clarified the direction that we have to take. Members are recommending the removal of Mrs. Shabalala from the board. It's a recommendation that has to go through the National Assembly, which is already put before the committee, as members have deliberated. After it has been processed by the National Assembly, it will be sent to the president to implement. And therefore, members are saying, because this process will be much longer, and we are clear there's nothing that we are still looking for, we are aware what is happening. Members are saying now the suspension should kick effect as early as now. So in other words, what has to happen, because the suspension does not need to be ratified by the National Assembly. The suspension will be put before the Speaker together with a recommendation to send this to the House, while the suspension has to be sent to the President. And therefore, in summary, I think part of what the members have said is that we recommend the removal of Mrs. Shabalala based on all the facts, which will lay down properly once we do that recommendation that will go to the National Assembly. We are recommending that she be removed from the SABC board as the chairperson and as a member. If you remove, it's a removal. It takes everything away, and therefore, possibly then we would, as the portfolio committee, come back to look into the filling up of the post, but let's allow this process to take its effect up till to the level of the president. That is what the members have said clearly, including that the members have said the suspension should then take effect, because we are clear now that there was misconduct in terms of misrepresenting the qualifications knowingly and quite clearly as per outcome. And I would like to indicate that that's a summary, unless if there are other things that members want to raise. But I believe honorable members and Mr. Vanara from the legal side, we have already shaped our direction from the committee, which might not be finalized at this point. It still has to go. There's a process that will go to the National Assembly and to the President, but also there will be also this process that goes to the Speaker and to the President. Mr. Vanara.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to bring to the committee's attention the point that Judge Bertelsmann, in the case that the SABC board chairperson took to the Western Cape High Court, the judge did observe that once the committee is done with its report on the matter, which contains its own findings and recommendations, that the committee would then have to afford Ms. Shabalala an opportunity to comment on that report and the findings and recommendations that the committee is to forward to the Assembly. The reason for that is simple, that she is not a member of the Assembly, and when the Assembly deliberates on this matter, she would not be in a position to speak for herself. However, if she is afforded an opportunity to see the report and comment on the report, and those comments, together with the committee report, are forwarded to the Assembly, the committee would have complied with the rules of natural justice. So I think we must just factor in that step, and I don't think it does affect the recommendations that the members of the committee are making. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thanks. That's a factor that we know, that we have seen from the judgment. There was also a fact that is raised that after we finalized or whatever recommendations we actually come up with as the committee, it be sent to Mrs. Zandile Shabalala for a reasonable period of time. How many days can we allocate for that, Mr. Vanara? Because it doesn't have a number of days. What? How many days would it be?
Yeah, I wouldn't put me on the spot.
What is it that you normally refer to as reasonable number of days in the legal terms? Because we can also come up with some days ourselves. And, you know, maybe what is reasonable in terms of us as politicians might not be legally reasonable. And therefore, but otherwise we can determine some number of days. Of course, this process was not to prejudice anyone, but we had to deal with our task. And we can look into a number of days that we can deal with. Honorable members, what do you think? Honorable Ndongeni?
Change with your person. Let's make it 7 days.
7 days suggested. We are seconding that.
I'm seconding, Chair. Okay. 7 days is good.
Yeah, let's do that. I wonder if Mr. Vanare, it's legally balanced, but we think a week, 7 days, 7 working days. All right. Mr. Vanara?
Chair, maybe 7 days would be a bit harsh. I think we could give 14 days. I recommend 14 days.
I'm actually attracted to 14 days. Okay, let's take the 14 days, which makes 2 weeks. It's even more than 2 weeks because we're going to say 14 working days, which therefore gives 2 weeks plus other days, which the other 4 days, because we don't count the Saturdays and the Sundays. And therefore, if we work along that, I think it's reasonable enough. You know, we have actually doubled what we could think would be reasonable. Yes. So along that, we don't think that we do have it. It's been a long process, which I really need to take this opportunity and a privilege to firstly start by thanking the committee secretary, together with all the staff of parliament, who have been working so hard to make sure that all the information required, all the preparations, all the logistics have been done thoroughly. And I must say I received pleasure in terms of working with them along that. And I have to move to Mr. Vanara, who have been kept very busy, you know, the legal section of Parliament, particularly yourself, Mr. Vanara, you've been kept very busy on this matter, and your patience, and also, you know, taking us through. Now we can register some courses on law from the side of the committee, those who are not legal. Because we have even picked up interest on a number of other areas. We've learned quite a lot through this process, including going to court, understanding that we're dealing with a litmus test. You know, all those terminologies. I think, you know, you have done well, and we want to thank you for that. There is Mr. Van Wyk, who has been coming up, down, from UNISA, you know, patiently and you know, very, very disciplined, who then had to assist us and was willing at all times. It really shows that partnerships between a parliament and institutions of learning as well are quite good in that instance, because we have been assisted appropriately, because we don't want to thumbsuck. We needed facts which had been presented before us. People that I also have to really thank are the members of this portfolio committee. I need to indicate again, it wasn't an easy process, this matter. You know, it might, you know, when you look at it, you can say just it's just a case of one person who just have to give qualifications, but we have all seen how complicated it became along the way. And I really want to thank the support that I got from all the committee members across board. I sincerely appreciate, you know, the collaboration and working together. And, you know, you know, just patience and ensuring that we deal with the task of Parliament. I want to sincerely thank you. Thank you very much for all that. I know that the public out there, because the SAPC is a public entity, have been interested in terms of finding out how far this goes. We want to believe that as the committee, we have done all what we can. We have reached a point where we have drawn a conclusion and would like to see this matter towards the finalization of the process also proceeding properly. And at the end, we would need people to realize that Parliament do take up matters seriously once they're raised, and want to hope and believe the issues of the qualifications, you know, get cleared up. But I was just talking, there was an interview that was done. I am confident about how Parliament is able to ratify the qualifications, because we've currently done the appointment of the MDDA director, a Media Development and Diversity Agency. And because we didn't want to have any mistake of this nature, we've gone through a thorough process of dealing with that. I must say the HR of Parliament, it's quite good in dealing with. I've received good comfort in terms of dealing with this. I'm confident Parliament can do it properly, because I was also following myself, and I'm sure it just calls upon all of us to be much more careful, so that we don't deal with the after effects. We deal with matters before they're actually into the system. But I'm confident that they can be done properly. And we want to assure everyone that in terms of verifying qualifications, the situation will improve, so that we don't have issues such as this lingering within the entire public atmosphere unnecessarily so. By so saying, honourable members, I'm sure we have finalised this process for today. We have finished for today. We will put up those reports. We will send the comments to Mrs. Tshabalala, the chairperson of the SAPC board. We will process things accordingly in terms of suspension, recommendation to suspend, and also a recommendation to relieve Mrs. Tshabalala from the board. Thank you very much, honorable members.